97.5 The Fanatic.
As we broadcast from the Xfinity studio, only from Comcast, Devon Givens with you until 8:45. Sixers basketball. They take on the Houston Rockets in their final seeding game, the eighth seeding game for the 76ers. That is tonight at 9 o'clock in Orlando inside the bubble. So we'll lead you up until 8:45. Brian Seltzer at 8:50 with the pregame coverage to get you ready for the basketball contest right here on the Sixers Radio Network, the Flyers Radio Network, as well as you heard the game with Coatsy and Tim Saunders here, Jason Martinez as well, with all the great work that those guys do. Unfortunately, coming away with an L, 5-0 shutout for Carey Price. And even the way that things went, when it got to 4-0 for the Canadiens, Vigneault said, all right, that's enough. Let's get Carter Hart out. Not because of just a bad performance. Just get him off the ice. Let's get it over with. We'll see you on Sunday at 8 o'clock, and that's where we'll go from there. So Flyers with the tough one today. It happens. I still have confidence in this team that they will bounce back on Sunday night, led, of course, by the head coach. And we'll see where things just start to kind of pick back up for this hockey team. Now, we hope we don't see a repeat of if something is working, certainly, you keep going to it. And something worked for the Canadiens in game number one in the second period, where it seemed like they outplayed the Flyers, even though the Flyers were able to get the goal in there and take that 2-1 advantage from Farabee. And they did not, they were looking back. They were just able to stop them and not get that tying goal to force overtime. But whatever it was that they saw, they were able to carry it over into this one. They saw something, and they used a lot of that to their advantage today. They used that speed. They used the flatness of the Flyers to get back out there. The forecheck, again, that we mentioned was very good for them. The Flyers just simply didn't seem like they knew how to handle anything this afternoon, and they walk away with an loss. It's not the end of the world, as we said, but it's something to keep our eye on as we get ready for game number three. But I still believe that they win this series. I predicted 5. If they don't do it in 5, they'll do it in 6 against this Canadian team, because they should not be overlooked. Good matchup for the Canadiens, maybe not so much for the Flyers as we continue to look at things going forward. 610-632-0975. We go back to the phones as promised. We'll get Dante in here next in the Northeast on the Fanatic. Dante, how you doing?
Yo, what's up, Devon?
How you doing, man? What's happening?
What's up, buddy? So listen, on the Flyers, man, I'm not worried about that. Listen, that's going to be a 5-game series, all right?
Still 5.
No worries about that. But I do want to talk to you about the Sixers and Eagles real quick. The Sixers, man, if they could make it a 5-game series, that would be the best they could do. The matchup, there's just really losing Ben Simmons is really the biggest key to all of this, because the Celtics have 4 guys that could drop 20 to 30 on you easily whenever they want. And, you know, having 2 slow-footed guys in Horford and Milton, I mean, if you put Milton on Kemba, man, Kemba's going to kill that dude.
Well, I mean, where else do you go, though? Because is you going to take your chance with him on Hayward?
You can't, because he's too small.
So where do you go? You can't go Brown or Tatum. So it has to be Kemba.
That's what I'm trying to say. Like, Kemba's going to kill that dude, man. He's going to kill that kid easily. I honestly think Kemba's going to average 26 easily on Milton. And it sucks. I've been saying it from the beginning. I said this since last year. Burt has to go. I think that they need to make a change within this locker room. I don't really want to make a change within Ben or Embiid just yet. I want to see how they can maximize their talent together. But all in all, I got to be honest with you, I'm just tired of this team. I mean, I'm tired of Ben, you know. Ben, he doesn't, it just seems to me where he's just fine where he's at. It's like he doesn't really have that urge to take the next step in his game. And B, man, he's just a big baby to me. And Brown can't coach this team.
So do you feel like a new voice can help change that?
I think they need to get somebody in there that can get a new voice, definitely. But I think you need somebody in there that's just going to push these guys to their potential. I mean, listen, when you watch the Toronto game, which I'm sure you did, how come Embiid is still having trouble trying to get past Marc Gasol on the block when Marc Gasol is like 35?
That's his kryptonite, man. Marc Gasol is a smart defender.
And like, that's what I'm saying. This is like, it doesn't make sense. Like, you're, what, 10 years younger than this dude, and you can't blow by him? You can't get past him? It's not making any sense to me. But that's just my Sixers point. Now I want to talk about the Birds real quick.
Go for it. Yeah, training camp. You're starting to see some video of them out there on the field, which is great, but it just still doesn't feel like football.
Now, I'll be honest with you, I haven't been able to watch anything. But the last 2 days, we've seen the best two tight ends in the league get Max Cutwell.
Kittle and Kelsey.
Yeah, they got top dollar for their position. That's not making me feel comfortable, and it's not making me feel good about Ertz. I think that this is, because I don't know if you remember, I called you way back when the whole DeAndre Hopkins trade happened, and I said I would have gave up a first, a second Ertz for Hopkins. I'm not sure if you remember.
I remember that, yeah, because we were talking about how they let that one go and they should have been involved
right in
it. Yep.
And this time around, I'm trying to tell you, you need to trade Ertz. There's two teams and there's two guys I'm looking at. I'm looking at the Jaguars with Ngakoue, and I'm looking at Denver with Von Miller, if they can somehow make that happen. Because Ertz is going to leave if he's not going to get that money that these two tight ends just got. You just can't let him walk with nothing.
And, well, actually, you know what? He does have 2 years, Dante, on his contract. So that's the one thing they have going for them. However, you're right. He's up for the new deal because of him outplaying, I guess if you want to call it outplaying his deal with the numbers that he's been putting up. Yeah, he's going to want a new deal, no doubt, especially with those two guys getting theirs.
And the thing is, the thing that separates our tight end from their tight end, Kittle and Kelsey, they don't have an up-and-coming tight end right behind them.
Yep.
They don't have that Dallas Goedert behind them.
Yep, you're right. You're right, yep, man. Yep, no doubt about
it. Listen, Devon, I appreciate you, buddy.
Dave, Dante, as always, man, appreciate it. We'll talk to you soon, man. Be safe. 610-632-0975. Yes, Kittle and Kelsey did receive new contract extensions from the 49ers and the Chiefs, respectively. And you know that Zach Ertz is going to be next. At least the conversations will start of him being next with his 2 years remaining, but up for a new contract extension with the Philadelphia Eagles. What will they do? When we started talking about Yannick Ngakoue, DeAndre Hopkins, and many other names that have been linked to the Philadelphia Eagles, the name that we kept bringing up was Zach Ertz. What do you do with Zach Ertz? He's the one that has some value. You have some security there with Dallas Goedert. Many people said you are not giving up Zach Ertz for anything at this time. So are you ready to pay him the amount of money that he's going to want with an extension for this Philadelphia Eagles team, even with Dallas Goedert behind him? We don't yet know what the Eagles wide receiver group looks like. We only know about DeSean Jackson and his speed. And so far, looks like DeSean Jackson can still do DeSean Jackson things. What does that mean for Jalen Reagor, J.J. Arcega-Whiteside, Greg Ward, the two late-round wide receiver selections for this team, and last but not least, Alshon Jeffrey when he does take the field? What does it mean? Probably means you're going to see a lot of dual tight end sets still, but plenty of DeSean, plenty of Reagor, mixing in the other guys. But Zach Ertz is going to get a lot of looks, a lot of targets his way still. So the opportunity for him to get that new deal, it'll be there. Will the Eagles do it? Probably. I'm guessing they will. I don't dislike him, so I'm not mad at him for doing it. You do it. You have one of the best, you keep him around. Especially if he's someone that the franchise quarterback, just flat out trusts. So you do it. So we'll see. Kittle and Kelsey get their new deals. What's next for Zach Ertz? Probably a new deal, in my opinion. 610-632-0975. Let's now go to Paul in Florida. We traveled to Florida. checking in with Paul about the Flyers here on the Fanatic. Paul, how you doing?
I am. You know what? It's great to. I'm from Philly. I'm transplanted down here. I love Florida. You know, I don't think I ever moved back. I love Florida to death, but I'm such a Philadelphia sports fan, and I don't know if anyone really appreciates that down here as much. But I have to tell you, I need some therapy because I don't. I mean, my wife is like, I think you have a problem. I'm like, I'm from Philadelphia. I can't get it out of my blood. But I got to tell you about the Flyers. What makes me mad more than anything else, and this has to do with a lot of Philadelphia teams, but the Flyers, it really makes me mad. Show up. If you play your heart out and you lose 4-2, but if you play your heart out, that's fine. But when the team just gets blown away, and as far as I'm concerned, here it is. I'm number one, you're number eight. I own you. And it starts with a mindset. I own you. And you have to think that way. And if you don't think that way, and what the Flyers did the first period, I don't think I'll play, but not the first 5 minutes. They were checking. They were in the offensive zone forever. And I'm like, that's the Philadelphia Flyers that I've always grew up with. Like, that's who you guys are. Don't stop that. And then they just kind of got away with it in the second. And then in the third period, they kind of locked it down, although it got a little nervous. They got nervous towards the end of the third period when Montreal was putting some pressure on, pulling the goalie. But this game, the passing was piss poor. The Gostisbehere was just kind of, the defense was just standing there. I'm like, I have no idea what is wrong with that team because they played like that before. They can play. They beat Boston. They beat Tampa. They beat Washington. Come on. I mean, you got to destroy this team. So I'm hoping that Sunday comes around and they say, that's it. Game's over. We're taking you out now and you're not winning another game. And it really still, you have to meet the intensity. You can't just go in there and go, well, we'll pick it up and win. And I don't know they're not supposed to be out drinking or partying, but to me, that team looked like they went out and got trash, a whole bunch of pretzels.
That's hard. Sometimes I know we say those things. It's kind of hard to tell. Especially to your point that they're not really able to do anything. They were flat. They were flat, Paul. They need to come out and give a better performance 100% on Sunday night. No doubt about it.
I hope so. I hope so. You know, I mean, I just want them to win 1 year, man. I got to be able to have an adult beverage to toast the championship versus like Ensure. You know, I mean, that's if I got to toast an Ensure with double protein, it's not going to be a good fight.
Paul, have a good one. Keep representing Philadelphia down there in Florida, man. Thank you so much.
Bye now.
We'll talk to you. Thanks for listening. 610-632-0975. Yeah, I mean, look, it's hard to predict if they were out there doing any other extracurricular activities or anything. I mean, you know, to each his own. I'm not going there. I'm just simply saying the Canadians were better. You give credit where credit is due. Montreal was the better team. And that's why I would choose to lean. That's why I'm sure, just looking at Connor, he's shaking his head. He agrees. That's where he chooses to lean. Montreal was better today. And the Philly Flyers need to show up on Sunday to get back to where we believe that they are in terms of the pantheon of the Eastern Conference at the top, number one, the record showing and the seeding showing, but being at the top of their game, they need to get back at it. So whatever it was, obviously the credit to Montreal and the flatness from them to start the game, they have to bounce back and get away from that. They have to bounce back and be the hockey team that we are used to seeing at this point, at this stage of Flyers hockey, this deep into the season now, starting with the postseason right now in Toronto. So, and I think they will. I'll say it again. The number one thing for me is the head coach. I trust the head coach, and I believe the head coach will have them ready to play on Sunday, 8 o'clock puck drop right here on 97.5 The Fanatic. 610-632-0975. If you would like to give your thoughts on this Flyers loss, dropping a goose egg this afternoon against the Montreal Canadiens, 5-0. Carey Price, fantastic. Carter Hart removed in the second period after the fourth goal was given up. Maybe could have let him finish out the period, even though there were only a few minutes left. But, hey, the button's being pressed by that head coach. I'll ride with him. He understood what he was doing, so go for it. Have at it. That's when you decide to remove him from the game, then that's when you decide to remove him from the game. But something for him to look at, something for him to aspire to for this next game, not only just to win, but just to bounce back from a tough performance, because not only, I mean, he in something like this, when you give up four goals, even though you may not point the finger, like the last goal, at him, Carter Hart, you can still say, all right, he didn't look good. He's still a young goaltender. How do you bounce back? This is the first time that he's going to have something like this face. He's going to have to face this adversity like this. How does he respond now to giving up this many goals in a playoff game after the success that he had in game number one, the round robin, so on and so forth? What does he do to bounce back as the goaltender when you feel like you have somebody that can you can stand behind, you can really get behind as the goaltender and feel confident that he is the one that is going to continue to do this? Not that this is going to change anyone's mind, because we all look at him and say, okay, they found one. And if you found one, you found one. Hopefully that is the case with Carter Hart. But something, again, for him to look to as they get ready for Sunday's contest against the Montreal Canadiens. Our number, 610-632-0975. If you are, in fact, leaving Xfinity Live, you finally decided to leave and you want to talk about the Flyers' loss, let us know. If you're at home or you're on your way to the shore, you heard the game, listening here on the Fanatic, let us know what you thought about this loss for the Flyers against the Canadiens. Sixers Talk with Mark and Cherry Hill next on the Fanatic. Mark.
Hey, Devon.
What's up, man?
You know, whenever you and I talk, we always talk about my dislike for Brett Brown. And I got a solution. They got to get rid of him, but I think there's only one coach that can coach this team, and that's Avery Johnson.
Really? Avery Johnson? Why Avery Johnson?
Well, two reasons. One, he's a disciplinarian, and two, he was an ex-point guard, and he's got that San Antonio, you know, pedigree. I really, really think that this team needs discipline. They like, you know, a lot of times when they lose because of turnovers, because they're out of position, they don't set good picks. You know, Joel Embiid's on top of the key shooting threes. You know, they need coaching. I'm sorry, Brett Brown is a disappointment, and he doesn't prepare them to win. And I think they need it. They probably would reject Avery Johnson's discipline, but, you know, I'm going to tell you something. They sit on the bench or they get cut or whatever. You know, they got to get disciplined. It's not going to get any better until they get a disciplined coach.
Well, I think that in the event that they are looking for a new head coach, which, of course, is quite possible with an early exit in the playoffs, Mark, that I think Elton Brand understands that that's something that he's going to seek in a new head coach, whether it's a veteran guy or someone who is a first time, but with a reputation around the league of being a good assistant, but also being tough and fair with his players. So Avery Johnson, I've never really looked at Avery Johnson and said, you know what, I like Avery Johnson, although we know about the success that he had with the Dallas Mavericks, certainly coming from the San Antonio pedigree. Mark, I don't know, for me, there's something about him that I just be like, you know, whatever. Basically,
yeah.
I say whatever to Avery Johnson. And not that I'm right. That's just my opinion, and I could be wrong.
Yeah. Well, you know, Jason Kidd was another name that came up. I think in order to get the best out of Ben Simmons, I think having a coach that was a point guard would definitely help him.
I don't disagree with that.
Yeah.
I don't disagree with that. Now, here's the other thing. Today, the Chicago Bulls fired Jim Boylan. That was something that was rumored for a while, and especially with new general manager, and we know about Mark Eversley being there. Just new people in the front office. They're going to want their own guy, right? So now there's another head coaching job available out there. Vlade Divac stepped down for the Sacramento Kings as general manager, but Luke Walton is going to remain in his spot. So there are places for other coaches that are out there, candidates on the market for job opportunities. And maybe they'll look at the Chicago Bulls or some other spots and say, that's a better spot for me than the 76ers. So I'm curious to see how it goes, man. Right now, we'll see.
Yeah, I don't know if you knew this or not, but Avery Johnson did apply for an assistant coach job with the Sixers.
I remember that. Yeah, I think the thing that was against him, to be perfectly honest with you, Mark, money.
Yeah.
As an assistant. Yeah, he commands a lot of money as a former head coach, especially him as a former head coach and the money that he got from Alabama trying to turn that program around in college basketball. From what I understand, I remember that. I think it was money as an assistant coach with how much he was going to want as an assistant.
Yeah, well, he could have helped. I mean, he could have helped Brett Brown where they can play good cop and bad cop. But they got to do something because I cannot coach Ben Simmons and him refusing to shoot the ball. I mean, that would drive me nuts. I mean, screaming at him like Samuel Jackson and Pulp Fiction.
Hey, Mark, before you go, quickly, they play the Celtics Monday starting here on the Fanatic. What do you think of the series?
I think the Celtics take them out. I think the Celtics are a better coached team. I think the Sixers got as much, if not more, talent, but I just think that that Celtics got a better coach.
How many games?
I think it goes five.
Okay. I agree with you. I actually think it's five as well. Mark, good talking to you as always.
Take it easy.
We either talk during the playoffs or after the playoffs, man, but I'm sure we will, no doubt.
Sure will.
You got to have a good weekend, man. Appreciate it. 610-632-0975. Avery Johnson is the name that's brought up from time to time. Not as often as Jason Kidd, Mark Jackson, Ty Lue, but every now and then the name Avery Johnson comes up. And Mark is correct. Before Ime Udoka got the job as the lead assistant for Brett Brown on the coaching staff, Avery Johnson's name was leaked out there as well. He interviewed for it. He did not get it. I was honestly surprised that he didn't get it. But once someone said to me, think about the money that Avery Johnson is going to want coming from having success with the Dallas Mavericks, getting the big haul that he got from the Alabama program, the university, for coaching that basketball team, he's going to want some money. Will Josh Harris give up that type of money for that position, for an assistant? And I've already heard just little whispers here and there that if, in fact, Brett Brown is let go, you might want to rethink the possibility of a big-name head coach like Marcus that, Mark was just talking about, because the owner does not want to pay big money for two people, especially with Brett Brown having years left on his deal. Is he going to want to give the new guy coming in a deal like that, knowing that you're still paying Brett Brown the amount of money that you're paying him on his contract? What is that going to do for the 76ers overall? Because looking at Brett Brown, remember, he got the extension when the Colangelos took over. He got a 3-year extension, I think it was, at the time in 2018. And I remember having the conversation that his deal goes through 21-22. So he has 2021, 21-22. That's 2 years that they're going to have to pay him. Is the ownership group going to want to give him that much money and somebody else big money? I don't know. He was scheduled to enter the final year of his deal after previously agreeing to a 2-year extension in December 2015. Colangelo's come in and they give him that extension. And from what I understand, not Brian, but Jerry, who Brian wasn't here yet, did not want them to honor the extension that was given to him before he got here. Harris said, no, we honor our agreements. They did that. They had to keep Brown on. We know where we are right now. Colangelo, Brian comes in later, general manager, all that stuff. And we'll get to that when we get back. We got to take a break. We'll get to Mitch and Lance and everybody else. 610-632-0975. We're in the crease with the Flyers. We're previewing the Sixers. Celtics upcoming. They have a game tonight against the Houston Rockets. And everything else that's on your mind on this Friday night before we get to Sixers basketball. 610-632-0975. Devon Givens with you until 8:45. Sixers basketball at 9 here on The Fanatic.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Rolled back in behind the goal over to the right wing half wall. Max Domi, he is the fourth line center, but he was their leading scorer a year ago. Here's Tatar with a shot. He scores a perfectly placed shot off the post and in. It's a power play goal and the second goal of the game for Tomas Tatar. The Habs lead it 3-0.
Ah, Tomas Tatar with his second of the afternoon against the Flyers, falling this afternoon 5-0, as you probably have heard. If not, welcome. We're talking about it, and we want you to talk about it. 610-632-0975. Just didn't see them themselves. They walk away scoreless against the Montreal Canadiens. The series is now tied 1-1. The Flyers and the Canadiens will be back on the ice on Sunday, right here on the Fanatic at 8 o'clock. That'll be game number 3. And Connor, you have some audio from Alain Vigneault talking about the Flyers' performance this afternoon, and also a little something surprising at the end as well about what happened at the end of the game.
There's no doubt that they outplayed us in all facets of the game tonight, especially in the will department. We're going to need to be a lot better. I saw towards the end of the game there where Kirk Muller there have got a 5-0 lead and he puts his number one power play on the ice. We had embarrassed ourselves enough. I don't think we needed to get embarrassed more. So I'm going to make sure our team is very aware of that next game.
Well, if you have any questions about film session and letting them know what's going on, we got the answer right there. Up 5-0, put their top people on the power play out there on the ice when the game is already in hand. And the Montreal decides to go that way. Look, they did what they wanted to do. They were feeling good. Everything was working for them. They decided that that's what they were going to do, and they did it. And now you have the attention of Alain Vigneault, like you said. We were already embarrassed enough. They beat them in every facet of the game, but did not necessarily need that. So now we get to see what happens on Sunday. Let's see how they react to that. He's going to show them that and let them know. Let them know how you feel, AV. Let them know how you feel. 610-632-0975. I like that. I like that. What do you think?
Yeah, that's I think that's a case of an assistant coach stepping in, because of course Montreal didn't have their head coach, and he's
show his head coaching chops.
Either that, or I don't know if he wasn't thinking about it and he was just trying to not do anything crazy. I don't know, but that's not something you see from an everyday coach.
Yeah,
and that's not a great move out of him.
All right, well,
not as an 8 seed against a 1 seed who might have been the hottest team in hockey before tonight.
Well, now we will find out. 610-632-0975. We got a lot of people waiting. We want to give everyone their opportunity to say their piece on the Flyers, the Sixers, even a little bit of the Phillies as well. By the way, Derrick Jones Jr., local product from Chester, plays for the Miami Heat. He's had a very good career with them so far in the last 2 seasons being with them. Started off with the Phoenix Suns, played with them. I think he played with the Jazz as well. But anyway, really starting to make his mark in the league as a member of the Miami Heat. And today, took a bad fall today, coming around the screen on the perimeter, took a little bit of a hip check, and it appears his neck and shoulders, I believe it is, were bothering him a little bit. He was fitted for a neck brace after colliding with one of the Pacers players. He was taken off the floor on a cart, on a stretcher, and it seemed like they had his right hand over the back of his head for a while, as I look at NBA.com to see exactly what happened. Initial signs from Tim Reynolds say on Twitter that positive for Derrick Jones, but more tests need to be done. He is getting an MRI and CT scans does not have any numbness, also a good initial sign for Derrick Jones Jr., who's averaged 8.6 points per game, 4 boards in 23 minutes for the Heat, and has won the slam dunk contest for this team this All-Star break before, of course, COVID hit the entire country and the world, as we know. So we thoughts are with Derrick Jones Jr. So far, things look promising. We hope they remain the same. We all want the Sixers to beat everyone, including the Miami Heat. But, of course, when it comes to stuff like this, you don't want to see anyone get injured, especially something as simple as just going around the screen, getting clipped, and now you have a neck brace placed around your neck and taken off on the stretcher and all that stuff. So we hope Derrick Jones Jr., local product, is doing okay, able to get back out. If I had to guess, if it's like that, he probably won't play in game one, just speculating. And game two is when we'll see Derrick Jones Jr. So hopefully we get to see him out there sooner rather than later, and he's healthy and good to go for the Miami Heat. All right, let's go back to the phone, 610-632-0975. Mitch in Phoenix checking in with us on the Fanatic. Mitch.
How you doing?
Okay, how are you?
Oh, I'm hanging in there. You know, I'm a longtime Sixer fan. You know, we both agree they're a big disappointment ever since they went into that situation where they wanted to lose and get as many draft picks as they could. But to tell you the truth, the general manager is the biggest cause for the Sixers being the way they are. If you go back to the Zaire Smith pick at number 16, where the Phoenix Suns picked him, and then obviously for some reason they wanted him. Here's a guy that went to college, played ball for 1 year, averaged 11 points. You know, if you're the general manager and you're giving up the dude from Villanova, who's your cousin, that I absolutely love when he played for Villanova, and then you want to get Zaire Smith, who averaged 11 points in college, What is your brain telling you?
Well, Mitch, a lot of it was that 2021 pick, and it was offered to them. They thought the 21 pick was very key, especially with the high school players being back in the draft eventually, that they thought. We'll see how that all plays out for 2021. Now knowing guys are going straight to the G League, that was an essential piece in that deal. As far as Zaire Smith, I mean, they liked him. They liked his athleticism. They liked the fact that he was young, and they feel like they could groom him into something that they feel would be beneficial to their team for years to come. I liked the player in college for the 1 year. I did not like him at 10 where the Sixers were, and certainly with other players still on the board, for example, Dante DiVincenzo, for the Milwaukee Bucks now, I probably would have gone in that direction over someone like Zaire Smith. And it's unfortunate for the kid because, no one can predict the health scare that he had with the allergic reaction that he had, then the bad injury, of course, that he sustained as well, and having to play in the G League. He's still very young. Things don't look great right now, but there's still time for him. I didn't agree with it. They made it. Here we are.
Let me ask you this. On an offensive perspective, who do you think could be a better player, Thybul or Smith?
Well,
because I'm not impressed with Thybul as far as an offensive
player. Well, he's known as a defensive guy, so at least he has the chops, the pedigree coming from Washington, University of Washington, where he's established being a player of the year defensively in the Pac-12. We already know, and the player of the year in college basketball, we already know what he does on the defensive end. It's there. Offensively, there's still room for him to improve. Can he improve? Yeah, just because he's a 4-year player in college doesn't mean he can't get better. And so I think I would lean more him than Zaire Smith, only because I've seen more of Thybul through college and even now than I have of Smith.
See, his offensive game reminds me a lot like Cormaz. And I'm not impressed with Cormaz on a night-to-night situation. Yeah, he can jump out at you once in a while. But, you know, when you think about all these moves, it goes back to the general manager.
Managers or one in particular?
Well,
because now they've had three of them overall. And if you want to include interim GM, Brett Brown, who was the one in 2018 to make that pick with the 2021 and the Colangelo staff that was left over?
Well, the idea that he could overpay so many players like Horford, I mean, and what are you getting out of Horford that deserves the type of contract that he got? And what are you getting out of, you'll have to help me with the other guy that came over from another team.
Josh Richardson.
No, not him. The other dude, the forward.
Tobias Harris.
Yeah, I mean, you know, keep in mind, Tobias Harris has never made an all-star team. He's been with a number of different teams. The contracts that they give out on that team don't make a lot of sense. And I don't care what coach you bring in. If you can't coach Ben Simmons and Embiid, they're never going to get to the point that we'd like him to get to. It's just not going to happen.
I understand. So, Mitch, I'll answer your question. Thanks for the call, man. Good to hear from you as always. 610-632-0975. What was the purpose of giving Horford that money? 4 years, close to 110. I think it was 109 for Horford. The purpose was thinking that you would advance past what you were last year, a second round game seven. Opponent against the Toronto Raptors where you got knocked off. We know that already. So thinking that if you make some tweaks, even though I think they wanted to keep Jimmy Butler, things went the opposite way. J.J. Redick as well. They moved on. Then the Sixers then had to move on as well. So with that, you pivot to what you get with Harris returning, Horford signing, trading in the Jimmy Butler deal for Josh Richardson. What you get in Horford is now, if you believe that they could take the next step, with how they played against the Toronto Raptors, seeing what happened with the Raptors and the Bucks, extra people to defend, starting with Giannis, Chris Middleton, then Pascal Siakam and Kyle Lowry, whatever else is on that team. That's what you have to defend, really, against the Raptors and the Milwaukee Bucks, and to a certain extent as well, because they are very good, the Boston Celtics. That's why you bring in Al Horford. Secondly, you bring in Al Horford to be the backup to Joel Embiid, who, as we know, already has a history of injuries that have kept him off the floor and kept him from being himself in these playoff series, the four playoff series that we've talked about. Not one. The two first-round matchups and the two second-round matchups has he dominated and been Joel Embiid in these playoffs. So that's why you go out there and pay, whether you like it or not, money-wise. To answer the question, Mitch, that's why you go out and get Al Horford. So far, it has not resulted in positive things for the 76ers. And now we're really going to see what his value, his worth is to this team, not money-wise, but value-wise, his place on this team with no Ben Simmons to start this playoff against the Celtics on Monday night in game number one. He also has a wealth of knowledge of what they like to do, the Celtics, but they will also change things against the Sixers where it won't look like he's able to call that out. Now, here's what would be the frustrating part. T.J. McConnell was calling things out when they played the Pacers. So that's either a knock on the Sixers, Brown and his staff, or just a big thumbs up T.J. McConnell still being able to sniff out some of the old things and even the tweaks in the terminology that the Sixers use. Can Al Horford be that type of guy for the Sixers against the Celtics in this series as well? Because that would be a great help if he is, in fact, able to do that. Boston is very good. Boston lost to the Sixers 3-1 in the regular season. Boston had to face Ben Simmons all the time. Now Ben Simmons is not there for Brett Brown and the rest of the team, so we have no idea how that's going to play out, but he is going to be important. Mitch, this is also where they got them for, simply the playoffs. They all keep talking about it. They all keep saying this team was built for the playoffs. Smash mouth offense, bully ball defense. We now have the playoffs. Let's see if this team was built for the postseason the way that they have liked to preach to us all season long, especially during the downtimes of the Sixers season where they did not look good on the road, that this team was built for the playoffs. I got tired of hearing it because it seemed like an excuse. We talked about the Flyers waiting for the zeros to hit on Wednesday against the Canadiens. It wasn't an excuse. It was because it looked like Montreal was just good enough at some point to overwhelm the Flyers to tie that game and head into overtime. And the Flyers were good enough to keep them at arm's length and win that game. But there was always something there in the back of our mind saying, uh-oh, can we hurry up and get to the zeros because they're going to score. And in this case, for the Sixers, again, to give us that in game number 45, in game number 56, and ultimately game number 65, and once things got back on track for this basketball team to get back on the floor inside the NBA bubble, we kept being told about how this team was built for the postseason. It's no longer an excuse. It's going to be a fact. Either you are or you aren't. And they get underway on Monday at 6:30. Are they built for the playoffs the way that they say they have been? We will find out. So, Mitch, that is part of the reason why Al Horford was brought in here, whether you like the money that he was given or not. His presence is the big thing, of course, with him being out there for the 76ers on the floor for the postseason. Are they built for them? We will find out starting on Monday, game one against the Boston Celtics. 610-632-0975. And as far as Josh Richardson, Mitch, what was he brought in here for? To be a two-way player led by his defense on a perimeter. A lot of perimeter scores in this league that need to be slowed down. Can't stop them. You slow them down. And in a defense led by Embiid, Simmons, Richardson is a very, very good third piece. And then the emergence of Matisse Thybulle, that is also something to look forward to. Even though he's a rookie, he's going to have to get defensive minutes for the 76ers in the playoffs. Can he do it? Can Josh Richardson be that two-way player? He's not going to give you 32 every night on the offensive end. But if he can give you 17 and up his point total with the absence now of Ben Simmons, that will be a key piece for the 76ers as we get ready for this seven-game series, hopefully against the Boston Celtics and with the Sixers eventually coming out on top. I'm Devon Givens, 610-632-0975, talking a lot of Flyers after their loss 5-0 to the Canadiens in game number two. A big game from Carey Price. Some good offensive stuff from the Canadiens, and a tough afternoon overall for the Flyers. They bounce back hopefully on Sunday, 8 o'clock here on the Fanatic in game number three. As far as the Sixers, we'll take your phone calls with them as well. They have a game tonight, the final game, game number eight inside the bubble. For the seeding games, they take on the Houston Rockets. It means nothing. Everything matters starting Monday, 6:30 here on the Fanatic for game number one. Let's go to the phones. Head back to Arizona with Lance now on the Fanatic. What's up, Lance?
What's up, Devon? So a couple things with the Flyers, man. First off, I hope psychologically that Carey Price is not in their head, because you saw a lot of frustration from some of the guys on the ice. And once that starts happening, it becomes contagious. And you start seeing more and more missed shots that they should take that they don't because he's in their head. That's one problem they have. The second problem that they have, and we didn't really discuss any of it over the course of the round robin, but there's been periods where the Flyers just get dominated in their defensive zone and they can't get the puck out. Like, go back to the Washington game. The second period of that game, they had that problem. The third period of the Tampa game, they had that problem. The second half of that game against Montreal, game one, they had that problem. In this entire game, they had that problem. So it's becoming more of a problem for the Flyers that their defense is not getting the puck out cleanly, and they're creating a lot of turnovers that's going to kill them eventually, and today it killed them. So to me, you have to be able to get the puck out of your defensive zone, and Montreal's just going flying out of their zone with ease. So the Flyers at some point need to put some pressure on them to create some turnovers, because they're not winning that battle. And the other thing, man, it sucks to say, love Claude Giroux, but dude, your last 17 playoff games, man, you have one goal and 5 points. You're supposed to be the guy leading this team. You have to step up. You cannot just depend on second, third, fourth lines down the road to do it. Our first line is not doing anything right now inside the bubble when since they've gotten there. Like, it's been everyone else but them. They have to step up. You cannot win a Stanley Cup having your second, third, and fourth line just carry you the whole way. It's not possible. It's just not. You have to have those guys that you're paying big money to play like big money players in big spots.
Absolutely. And we said it, the first and second lines so far, we want to see some improvement from them. We've seen so much good from them all season long, which is why we tout them the way we do with the second line in particular with what they've been able to do, and they have to step up. And Drew, we said it earlier, Voracek and Giroux specifically, we have not called their names at all, really, right? In these, even around Robin games, as things have gotten underway. So they have to step up and show why they are still the vets that they are on their front line.
Super, super concerning, though, is if you look at Claude Giroux's career, his first 53 playoff games, 61 points, 23 goals. Last 17, not good. Like, that's super concerning, because and Voracek's not much better when you look at his. So, like, that's super concerning. I also think it's hard for you to match the type of intensity the Habs have right now, because that first series that they had was a playoff series. The round robin, even if it was considered the playoffs, is really not, because you weren't going to go home if you lost. It was just about seeding.
Right.
So you have to match that type of intensity that they've been playing for now six games. You've only had to play it for two. And I think that's a major thing that the Flyers have to get themselves their mindset in, is that we have to get that intensity, because that's playoff intensity. They're not playing with that same type of intensity, and you see it. And I wanted to make a Sixers point with Matisse Seibel. The thing that bothers me with Matisse Seibel is this. You had 4.5 months off to work on your game. His offensive game, I don't see any improvement. That, to me, is concerning, because if you had 4.5 months off, that's a whole entire offseason in the NBA.
Yeah,
you should be only, showing me something.
The only part was, for him, he lives in an apartment, Lance. He had no way of getting to courts. And I know that Embiid, they said, the thing with Embiid was, I believe a lot of that too was like injury stuff. So he was able, if you had an excuse for them to be in your facility, you can use that. And I that was more so for Embiid. But as far as Thibel, I don't think in an off season like this one, specifically with what it was, is going to be one where we look at that one and say, all right, we'll see a big improvement with his offense. Let's give him this offseason, the real offseason, after this one ends.
The problem with this offseason is you're not going to have a very long offseason. Well, I don't know. The Sixers get eliminated early. You might have a longer offseason than normal. But the offseason is going to be more condensed than what it is normally. So I don't know how big of a jump you're going to see in his offensive game that you would see in a normal year. Like, to me, that's concerning, because I live out on the West Coast, so I saw him in college.
Yes.
And earlier in his college career, I thought he was going to have a better arc than he did coming up. Like, don't get me wrong, he was good, but I thought he'd be better offensively by the time he left than what he was, and that's why it's concerning to me. I get what you're saying, he didn't have that luxury. It's just, that's what's concerning to me, because I thought by the time his college career was over, he'd be better.
Yeah. Lance, he just might be who he is offensively, where he's going to have to just simply improve his outside shooting overall. Lance, thanks for the call, man. Be safe. Yeah, talk next week, man, once the Sixers get underway and the Flyers as well get back at it on the ice. This just might be who he is offensively. I hope he evolves a little bit more, because you want more, putting the ball on the floor a little bit more and knocking down at a better clip from behind the three-point line. We need to see that from him, because he's going to be in the rotation. 610-632-0975. We keep it going on the other side. Flyers talk, Sixers talk as well. Our final hour as we lead you into Sixers-Rockets basketball at 9 o'clock right here on the Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.